since we've come into this grace, I don't know about you, but it's radically changed my time with the Lord, my life. It's made accessing God so much easier. When you come into the depths of God, in the beginning, it's more difficult because those pathways are not open. Your faith journeys into these places and it opens that up. But the more and more you go into this, it's like a wide open door. You just walk in, turn the knob, and come into God, you know, by the new and the living way. And what I want to do today is share a revelation of grace, what grace is, because everyone has their own idea of, in their perspective of what grace is. Grace is the grace of God came unto us, bearing salvation, but salvation is a very broad term. Where grace lives, because the Bible says, let us come boldly. In fact, you can turn to Hebrews, and I'm going to share with you the definition as the Holy Spirit has showed me of what all grace is, because when you come to the throne of grace, you have to have a revelation of what that grace is, what you're drawing on, and you need your revelation expanded. Because it's not just salvation, it's the broad range of salvation. But the more you can see of what he's purchased for us, the more you're going to be able to draw down or receive. We all need a revelation of grace, grace, and more grace. But when we're coming into the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. Say boldly unto the throne of grace. It's a throne. It's where he administrates from his throne. It's where he is seated at the right hand of God. And it's where he forever resides as a king, as an apostle and high priest, as an intercessor for you. And all that's in that throne, he calls grace. Because everything he purchased for us in the form of an inheritance is in that throne. So when you go there, if you know what's there, you can have it. If you don't, you're just going to go there and have a generalized seeking time. Of, well, I want your grace. Well, what kind of grace? Because there's a lot of grace. There's the Macedonian grace that fell upon the Macedonians and made them wealthy in a great trial of affliction. They became Paul's chief paymasters. There's the grace of salvation. He says, come to the throne, you obtain mercy. Mercy and help. There's a lot of help up there. Everybody say, help. Mercy. We need help. God never designed you to do the gospel in yourself. There's a lot of help God's providing. It's like the Holy Spirit was sent as our helper. The throne of grace is full of help. And so we have to learn to draw upon this place because it's glorious. And grace is, by definition, a free gift. You can't work for it. And you can't come to him veiled in works. If it be of grace, it's no more of works. If it be of works, it's no more of grace. The two don't operate together. It's one or the other. If we're doing it, grace is not doing it. If we're veiled in works, we'll be cut off from grace. So it's about the approach. It's about the surrender. And then it's about faith to access. Because if you have no faith to access, or you've never journeyed into a place that's not of the jurisdiction of this world, how do you come to the throne of grace? The throne of grace is not in this earth's jurisdiction. It's in a realm outside. Therefore, you're going to have to learn how to move into that realm. You don't move in there with natural things. You don't move in there with the soul or your body. You move in there by faith and you move in by the word of God. We have to learn to do that. That is not something that becomes natural. In the beginning, it's supernatural and it must be obtained and acquired by faith. That means practice. Everyone said setting faith in motion. You have to set your faith in motion. If you don't, you're going to get blocked. How many of you ever tried to reach into God and you got blocked out? The reason why we get blocked out and sometimes, well, he wasn't feeling like it today. There are things that block you that's part of your journey of faith. You have to go in and open those doors. And the Holy Spirit's there to help you. And the Word's there to help you. And faith's there to help you get in. Once you learn to get in, you start accessing, it gets easier. We need grace. That's why he said, you got to come boldly there. You have access. Everyone said, I've been granted access. Now today, I want to go through some things we've heard a lot of, some things we've not heard a lot of because it's ever expanding, but there is a lot there. And yet we need a great revelation of it. For the more revelation we get of grace, when you come there, you can be drawing on it. Amen. You're drawing on something that makes you, I'm believing God. I said, when I come in there, I said, God, make me 1,000 times greater than myself. Cause that's what I see grace doing, making you and myself 1,000 times greater. The God of the impossible, the God of the supernatural, all that lives in the throne of grace. That's what grace is. It makes you great. It makes you far greater than yourself. It gives you something that's far greater than you. Let's say amen. Booyah. It gives you something far greater. And it's available. And so we're going to get into it today. Amen. The best way I can describe what grace is, it's the free gift beginning with salvation that God has granted to you, and everything that Jesus inherited in his ascension to the right hand of God, he did it for you, and he's given it to you in the form of an inheritance. And grace is the catalyst that accesses that inheritance. Grace, you accessed a gift of salvation. The whole world he purchased salvation for, but grace was the catalyst. When you came in and asked him to become Lord and Savior and forgive your sin, grace activated the inheritance of salvation, and it flowed freely, and it recreated your spirit, and you passed from death to life automatically. That was your entrance into salvation. That was your entrance into grace, because grace is so huge. It would say, huge. Grace is ever expanding. Your ability to receive it's ever expanding, but you have to learn to receive it. Amen. Now, there are some things that talk about grace before I get into some of the revelations of what's in that throne. We have to know what's in that throne. A lot of us know that, of course, healing's in that throne, because if he substituted himself for it, he gave it to you freely. Sure, he has borne our sickness and carried our pains. It's there. Amen. That was healing right there. Do you know when he said the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed? Do you know that that was talking about a different kind of healing than the healing of your body? The chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon him. That's when he came in and stood before, in Deuteronomy 25, when they had a contention one with another. They had to go before the elders, and the elders had to decide who's guilty and who's innocent. And the guilty party in Deuteronomy 25 could receive up to 39 stripes for contention, for an argument. Anybody want to go back under the law? Not me, man. Paul said, you got to keep one part of the law. You got to keep all of it. Because the law does not justify a man. But Jesus, that was foreshadowing. He said, I will stand in the seat of controversy for all men. With the chastisement of your lack of peace, I will lay upon me the innocent lamb. I'll allow them to shred my body, that you can obtain healing one with another. I remember when he teaches in this progression, the right hand of God, he was teaching us how to bring people that have hurt and abused us and betrayed us, how to bring them into the right hand of God, how to bring them into the throne of grace and pray for them there. And he was teaching me, he says, all that's there. See, you got to bring them to me. You're trying to forgive them in your jurisdiction, but this spiritual stuff going on there. What happened to you wasn't natural. It was spiritual. When you got betrayed, it was a spiritual betrayal, and you can't deal with that always here. You can forgive and forgive and forgive, but got something get locked up into you called trespass. When that trespass gets locked up inside you, you got to bring that somewhere that has power to deal with it. And you bring it into the throne of grace, and he resides there as an apostle and high priest. And when you bring in to pray for that person that abused you, and you pray for that person that betrayed you, when you bring them there, not here, you bring them up there and present them there, hold them there, present them the chastisement of our lack of peace was laid upon you. There's healing. This healing for me. He taught me to do that. I would bring him every day, every day, every day. And all of a sudden, something released out of there one day. I was in about my second week of doing that. And I no more wanted to pray for them in my flesh. But see, when you get out of this jurisdiction, the want to shows up. You never want to here. When you get up in there, you want to. Very easy to love somebody when you're in the right hand of God. When you're in the throne of grace, very easy. And that glory released, that love of God released, and just broke that trespass. And then start breaking another one, others, another. I learned that there was something in that throne of grace I could receive when someone betrayed me. I didn't have to carry it around 20 years. I could bring them there and I could bless them and pray for them until something come out. And I see I was drawing on what he did there. I was drawing on those stripes. See, he took those stripes and there was healing and atonement there for the trespass. There was deliverance of the trespass and it come right up out of that throne. That's in the throne of grace. I didn't even know that was there until the Holy Spirit taught me how to bring somebody there. He says, stop trying to forgive somebody when you have a trespass. Don't try to forgive them in this earthly jurisdiction. You can't get free here. You got to bring it somewhere else, you see. And you bring it there to him. Amen? There's a lot up in there. And he said, pray. He said, Father, in Ephesians 1, I pray, Father, you grant us. Go to Ephesians 1, I want to show you. When Jesus took your betrayal and he allowed himself to be striped and shredded on your behalf to that person you've been carrying around, you're mad at everybody in the world because you're carrying somebody around. There's a trespass lock there and he has an answer for it. See, I obtained mercy. Help! I say, help! It's just a lot better when you're there asking for help, when you're shouting from here, help! That's why he said, you come boldly to him. Boy, I'm telling you, the throne of grace is our revival. Say, the throne of grace is my revival. It's eternal. What flows out of there will never stop flowing. Ephesians 1:18. Eyes of understanding be enlightened. He's praying that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches. What is the riches? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? The riches of the glory of his inheritance is what he inherited there. See, Paul was praying you get a revelation of what's up in there. Because if you don't have a revelation of what's up in there, you're going to keep trying to do it yourself because you can't see it. You can write this down if you're taking notes. I cannot have what I cannot see. If you don't see it by revelation, if the things of the Spirit require you see by revelation, you cannot see it only by the Word of God. The Word of God gives you the ability to see the unseen realm. See, it's revelation of the Word. Everyone say hallelujah. It gives you the ability to see into the unseen. Or you walk around here dull, see. When you're walking around dull, it's because you can't see the unseen. It's this Word that enlightens the unseen. I'm not talking about just the knowledge. I'm talking about revelation. Paul was saying, you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. And the eyes of understanding be enlightened that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory. I've got to see what's up in there. I have to see it. He spent a whole year showing it to us. He wanted us to know what was in there. Isn't that glorious? Go to Romans 5:2. Watch this. By whom also. This is very important. By whom also we have access. Say access. See, you've been granted access. See, that's good news right there. By faith into this grace wherein we stand. So we must access grace. We're not going to fulfill the will of God if we don't access grace. Grace and more grace. Everyone say grace. Grace and more grace. Grace. Grace and more grace. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access. Say access. Hallelujah. Access. Glory to God forever. Philippians 4:19 says he supplies all our need according to his riches where? In glory. Say riches. See, he's supplying your need out of that place if we can learn to access it. He's supplying our need if we can learn to access it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God forever. I like this one. In Ephesians 3, Paul said, I've been a minister. Look at this. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, listen to this, riches of Christ. That was what Paul was saying in Ephesians 3:8. He says, God's made me a minister that I should preach the unsearchable riches. Say, I like that, unsearchable riches. Say, unsearchable riches. Father, grant me unsearchable riches. Paul was saying, you can't preach something you can't see. He saw it. He was living in it. I've been called to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. I want them. I want it all. Everything I can see, I want it. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to access that which has not been accessed in a while. I want something far greater. This gospel, the good news of it, it was going to give you something much greater than yourself. Far greater than yourself. The world's not impressed with us. Have we figured that out yet? The best that man can do, the world's still not impressed. It'll go on about its merry little way until we start accessing something far greater. It's up in there. Say, God, get me in there. How about this one, Ephesians 1:3. All this is grace, by the way, the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's in the throne of grace. It's freely given, but can only be accessed by faith. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Say all. It's up in there. It's there. You know, the heavenly place is no far out land. That's in the throne of grace. It's where he resides. So now, with that said, let's look at some of the things that are up in there. I'm going to show you some of the more familiar things, because you hear us praying this all the time, and I want you to understand why we're praying this. Amen. I want you to see what's in that throne, so when you go in there, you can have access to what you see. Because you're accessing by faith, and the light of God's word will give you light of what's in there. He didn't call us to do this in ourselves. Isn't that good news? Boy, when I started discovering that, I said, man, we are working way too hard, Lord. He says, you are working too hard. He says, you have to do it my way. I need you to access something greater than you. When that comes on you, it'll cause things to happen. You'll be standing back and going, how did that happen? Right now, he's teaching us how to yield into these things. He was teaching us access by spirit. Now he's teaching us how to yield spirit, soul, and body under the shadow, surrendering under the shadow, under the authority of the right hand. See, you come under that authority and you come into that throne. And nobody approaches a king and they come in with reverence. You don't walk up into a front of a king full of yourself. You come in with reverence. You do. When you come up in front of a king, there is honor. With our king, we know him as Father, and we know Jesus, you know, as our elder brother. We know him as Lord, but I tell you, you got to come up in there, especially your flesh. You got to bow that stuff down. Don't walk up into his throne full of flesh. You can't do that. You got to lay that stuff down on the ground. You got to unveil the world. He doesn't want you coming up in the worldly garments. He wants you to come naked and open. All things are naked and open. See, he stripped of the world. Why? Because I'm coming in there to get clothed. The only reason I'm doing that, because I figured out over 25 years, my way doesn't work. Until you figure out your way don't work, you keep doing it your way. What's the number one lesson God teaches us? Your ways don't work. Or he said like this, my ways are not your ways. So once we have to learn that my way doesn't work, and see, and you keep trying to do it, it don't work, then you, what happens, there's a brokenness comes, and my way doesn't work. I have to learn his way. I've got to get something greater than me. You have to get to that point in life. If you're satisfied with what's going on, you won't seek something greater. But see, when you get that holy fire inside you and that holy burn inside you, you want something that's greater. I've seen it now. We see it. We see it in his throne. See, we see it. If you don't see it, you won't go up and access it. Stop asking God to bring it to you. He said, come to me. First, you go up and receive. Amen. You got to go into here where he is. That's the problem. We always want him to come dump us a box of apples. And he goes, yeah, they're like, you come up here and get the tree. There's a tree up here, and you keep wanting a box of apples. Amen? Now, let's look at some of this. You ready? I'm going to start with one of Pastor Chuck's scriptures, Acts 20. Go to Acts 20, verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. I commend you. See, he's surrendering and to the word of his grace. That's what we're talking about right now. We're in right now a series. Paul called it the word of his grace. We call it the great exchange. We're exchanging who we are for him. Believe me, he's better. We can have more of him. We can make the surrender. Isn't that glorious? And so I commend you the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It's able to build you up. And to give you an inheritance. So listen, this word of grace that we're preaching is able to build you up and it's able to give you an inheritance. If you have been given an inheritance, you don't work for inheritance, you get the inheritance. Now don't misunderstand faith, because there's some work. Like when he says labor to enter into his rest, there's labor in the spirit sometime to open the gates to where you can come in and receive. But you receive by faith freely that which has been given to you. Amen. What he's talking about works is you don't work up in here in this jurisdiction for what he gives you freely. You get it and then you flow with it. It's a different kind of work when his grace is on you. It's a different kind of work. It's not working under a jurisdictional sweat of the brow type operation where everything's hard and heavy. No, you're flowing freely. Say freely. This is what we're after, because this is revival. This is where the arena of wealth transference lives. This is where revival lives. This is where glory. We were at the rodeo the other night and saw this parent with her kid, and he was there in a wheelchair and chromosome disorder. And oh, I looked at him. I looked at her. I wonder if the church, when they ever can access that realm of God. And I looked at the just thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there, at least. How all of the multitudes would be affected if the church was operating in that kind of glory. Because there's so many people. I said, look at all these people in one place. He's packed out everywhere. You couldn't hardly walk. Even in the carnival party, just multitudes everywhere. I was wondering, I said, Lord, if we could just access that realm. When we come to that realm, please don't think that realm is lay hands on somebody, they're going to get healed, that's it, no more, say the name of Jesus. That realm, if that easy, I can assure you, we would be having revival everywhere. There are certain realms of the healing and the glory of God that will come when the gift realm, but that realm, it's reserved, because Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. It is available because he set the mark that it was available, but we have to be trained to operate in that kind of creative glory. Creative miracle, which is up in his throne. It's able to give us an inheritance. This grace is. I want it. How many of you want that? I want it. I want it really bad. I'm hungry. Now, let's go over to Daniel chapter 7. Love this verse. That was all just really an introduction. Because everything that's up in the throne of grace is what I'm going to start talking to you about now. You know, Hebrews 1 says, he ascended into the right hand of God and became the appointed heir of the Father. That inheritance he received, it's administrated from the throne of grace. We can access it freely by grace. Now watch this in Daniel 7, Verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, he's watching the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into the right hand of God. He sees it in a vision. Behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Stop. This was the Lord Jesus himself in his ascension from the cross. He's the Son of Man. He's ascending into the heavenlies in his ascension to the right hand of God. And he comes before the Ancient of Days, the Father. If he saw it, I want to see it, Lord. And they brought him near before him. This is when he come off the cross. See, Daniel's watching this prophetically unfold. And he comes into the Ancient of Days. And there was given him. This is when he became the appointed heir of the Father. This is when the Father transferred it all to him. He was the firstborn. And you know, under Jewish rites, the firstborn gets everything. Amen. It's the blessing of the firstborn. When he comes into the Ancient of Days, Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He comes in to receive the inheritance, and they bring him into the Ancient of Days. Oh, I love it. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. There was given him dominion. Somebody say glory. And a kingdom. The Father said, here, son, well done. Here, he comes up into the throne. He comes before the Ancient of Days. He just got off the cross, man. He went into the belly of hell for 3 days, and he gets resurrected out of hell. And I mean, he just imagine him coming out of hell for 3 days. He's suffering. And all of a sudden, God brings him up before him, and he says, here, all the dominion, son, all the glory, and a kingdom I give to you. He inherited that for you. He inherited that for each one of us. That dominion's our dominion. He put it in the right hand of God. It was the restored dominion that Adam walked in when Adam lost it, because God gave it to Adam in this jurisdiction. The enemy come and snatched it from him. So God said, all right, I will restore the dominion to the last Adam. I'll raise him up into the right hand of God. And when I give it to him, I'll put it there. And the devil cannot go there. I'll put it far above the principalities and the powers of this age. But then he goes, every single person, man, woman, child that's born again, I'll give you access to something the enemy himself cannot access. And I'll cause you to be seated with him at the right hand of God. Everyone said, booyah! And all the people, nations, and languages should serve him, and his dominion is an everlasting dominion. That right there is when he ascended into the right hand of God, and God made him the appointed heir of all things. Oh, I love it. Go to Revelation 5. When we pray according to the riches and glory, because we're praying this inheritance, because he received this sevenfold inheritance for you and I. You got to know it's in there. And grace activates it. Grace accesses it. Grace releases it, because it's free. We can have it. We got to access it by faith. But I want to be clothed in the honor of heaven. I don't want the honor of man. I don't care about it. I don't want the honor of this world system. I've seen it. It's just as empty as when I left it. I want to be clothed in the honor that's from above. I don't want the earth. I don't want the world. I don't like it. I want fullness and glory that's from above. I want to be clothed. Say, Father, clothe me in the honor that's from above. I want to represent you as a son here. I want to be clothed in the fullness of your inheritance. Spirit, soul, and body, manifesting dominion in the earth. My goodness, we are so far from the mark. You think about the church, how little. The hope of his calling, when Paul was praying, you want to know what the hope of his calling was? His calling was to ascend in and receive an inheritance for a brand new breed of people that would be born again. And that inheritance and fullness would come down out of the right hand of God and fill the earth. That was the hope of his calling. Not for a religious system to operate in the earth and call it God. And for every generation to look at that system and say, oh, that's what God looks like. Let's just go and do it. One pattern after another of religious system killing the life. He wanted fullness. He wanted power. He wanted glory. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today, I can tell you that. Revelations 5, are you there? You say, oh, that's good, brother. I can't wait to get up tomorrow morning and go work another 40, 50 hours so I can pay for what Mammon has enslaved me with. I want to under Mammon's covering. I am presently surrendering that covering. I want to surrender Mammon's covering. I want it off of me. I want to be clothed in the riches of heaven. I want to walk out here. I'm dripping. I'm dripping with the oil of heaven. And I'm walking up in here and God said, there's another way that you can be free of debt. I'll put you in a set of circumstances. I'll put you somewhere you don't even belong. I'll put you around some people you don't even belong being around. I'll give you an inheritance. I'm telling you, there is an inheritance. Revelation 5 verse 11. And I beheld. Now this is the same thing Daniel saw. A voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I mean, that's just multitude. Saying with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Say power. Say power. Riches. Shout it with me. Power. Riches. Say power. Riches. Wisdom. Strength. Honor. Glory. And blessing. Amen. Shouting. Worthy. He received that sevenfold inheritance for you and I. The Father grants it. See, when Christ inherited that, it was put in a, you could call it like a heavenly trust account called the name of Jesus. When you create a trust in the earth, they put it in someone's name. That name belongs to what's in that trust, see? And so he's put into the name of Jesus in the heavenly trust account. Everything he inherited's in him, and the hope of his calling is for that inheritance to release into the earth through his people. To his people and for his people and for the world. I love it. You see? Oh, that's grace right there. That sevenfold inheritance. You can write G-R-A-C-E, grace. When he ascended and became the appointed heir of the Father, G-R-A-C-E, grace. It's all grace. It's a throne that's full of everything I need. It's got healing. It has deliverance from my trespass. It has forgiveness and help. It has power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. He stood dumb before the shears. When they came before the Sanhedrin court, they began to demand of him, tell us who you are. He stood dumb right before them, withheld the wisdom of the ages. He could have blurted out all the way from Genesis to right then. He could have told them everything, and he stood dumb before them, substituting himself in that place and said, I will stand dumb that I can release. Jesus has now been made unto me wisdom. I can release my wisdom upon my people because I stood dumb, and it cost me the great sacrifice. He could have delivered himself with one word. He did not. To grant you wisdom. Wisdom. We can go up in there and get something much higher than we're operating in. We can go up in there and get something much, much higher. I don't know about you, but I am just tired of doing it my way. I'm tired of doing it the church way. I'm tired of no results. If it takes the selling out of our life to go in there and grab that inheritance, I want to come out clothed and robed. I want a robe of glory. I want a robe of honor. I want manifested Shekinah glory. And just because you access these realms don't make you perfect because you still have flesh. Know that, but see, once you get up in there and start obtaining grace, you can get clothed in it. Amen. God has highly exalted him. Philippians 2 says, given him a name that's above every name. John 16, Jesus said, all things the Father has are mine. Matthew 28 says, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Colossians 1:19 said, it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness would dwell. The Father gave all into him. John 5, as the Father had life in himself, he gave the Son to have the life. The Son has the life in him, and now he dispenses the life. He showed unto me a pure river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and proceeding out of the Lamb. The river of life comes out of him because the Father gave him the river. When he was sent it in, he says, as the Father had the source of life, he gave it to the Son. Now the river of life proceeds out of the Lamb to the nations. All the life that's flowing, even today in every service around the world, the life that's flowing is coming up out of him. He is the administrator of the life of the Father. He inherited all the life. Everyone say hallelujah. Guess what? He's in you. So the river's up in you. The throne's up in there. He is a king and an apostle and a high priest. There's an apostolic government that he received from the Father. The two olive trees of Zechariah chapter 4, one being a king, one being a priest, both extensions of his mantle. They're in the right hand of God. The two rivers, one that flows to the Dead Sea of humanity. And then the other river, he broke it in half in Zechariah 14:8. And it flowed to the Great Sea, the Mediterranean Sea of commerce. There's a river of God that's flowing for commerce. There's a river of God flowing to the Dead Sea of humanity. There's two olive trees. There's two rivers. There's a king. There's a priest. There is a government flowing. Oh, that's up in there. Somebody say hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. In Psalm 68, Ephesians 4, 8. And put your finger in Psalm 68, Ephesians 4, 8. You ready? Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's his ascension into the right hand of God, he led captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also ascended first, descended. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, helps, governments. Well, he didn't list that there, but he ascended and he received the whole government of the Father. When he came in, see, he's the apostle and high priest. When he ascended into the right hand, he received the government from the Father and said, I give you the whole church. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teachers, helps, government, diversity of tongues, I give you the whole thing. Now, Psalm 68, prophetically looking into this ascension, says, thou hast ascended on high. Psalm 68:18, thou hast led captivity captive. Look at this. Thou hast received gifts for men. He received gifts for you in the right hand of God. He's got your calling. Say, he's got my calling. He has it. He inherited your calling from the Father. He's got your calling. Everyone say, he's got my calling. If he's got my calling, it sure behooved me to get close enough to him to find out what it is. See, that's what happens. You come to the throne of grace. How about this? You know what the church does? Fill out this little piece of paper. It'll show you your gifts and your callings, and we'll figure out how to plug in. You ever done that? You ever been to church where you fill out the little piece of paper and say, well, this is your gifts, your calling, your ministration. And God's going, I've got it. We know who you are just by what you filled out on the paper. Give me a Pentecostal break. You walk up in church, this is who I am. Look, look, look. You see that? That's my gift. That's my calling right there on the piece of paper. Some man stamped it. I can go to some places in the city, take 6 courses and get ordained. And then I can add that. Look, I got my calling and my ordination. How much are you going to give me if I come and preach? It's pretty bad what we do. How about coming into the throne of grace? I lay down my earthly mantles. I lay down the earthly clothing. I come into the throne of grace. Jesus, you ascended on high. You received my calling from the Father. You received the gifts that I'm going to operate. You received it. I ask you to grant me the grace of my calling. Grant me grace, grace. Clothe me in the calling that's from above. Clothe me in my gift. Clothe me in my office. I ask it. I seek it from you and you alone.
I don't need man's stamp of approval. And I don't need a certificate that tells me that man says I'm okay. If I get it from God, it's all I need. Because he's got it. Somebody say amen. He has my calling. Psalms 2. You got a new way of coming into the throne of grace. Look what's all up in there. Gifts, callings, administrations, power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing, righteousness, peace, and joy. It's up in there. Healing, freedom. It's up in there. It's a throne that flows every day, never denies you. You remember that movie Braveheart? Mel Gibson comes up into those lords and he's up in their house and he goes, you are so satisfied with the scraps from Longshanks' table that you have denied your God-given inherited right to have your own. That's what we do. We go to the world system. We want table scraps. We deny ourselves of our God-given right to access the inheritance as sons and daughters. And we won't stay in there long enough to get it. So we go and give me some scraps. From the table of the world system, when every one of you have a God-given right for an inheritance that Jesus paid in full. And he sits as an intercessor day and night for the hope that anybody will come up there and get it. Psalms 2. This one's glorious. It's all grace. Say it's all grace. Everything that I'm seeing and hearing is grace. And I can have it because grace is abundant. Psalms 2, prophetically, David's looking into the ascension of Christ. He said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. That's his ascension into the right hand of God. Keep your finger there. Go to Acts 13:33. Go to Acts 13:33. Keep your finger there and hang on. Acts 13:33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their brethren, that he raised up Jesus again. And you can say, into the right hand of God, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. It was prophesied in Psalms 2 there, fulfilled in his ascension in the right hand of God. The Father, this day I have begotten thee, my firstborn son. Isn't that glorious? Talking about Christ's ascension. Now watch this. Go back to Psalms 2 and look what he got. Psalms 2. Now watch this. He ascends in, this day I've begotten thee, the son that resurrects into the right hand of God. I am not afraid to offend the religious spirit. I'm not afraid at all. He ascends in, hallelujah. Verse 6, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee, son. This is his ascension in the right hand of God. We just saw that. Watch this. Ask of me, son. Comes up into the right hand of God. Christ comes in. Comes before the Ancient of Days. There was given unto him glory and a kingdom and peoples and nations. He says, ask of me now, son. You are my appointed heir. Ask of me. The nations for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth possession. I'll give it all to you. It's all yours now. The nations are yours. The uttermost parts of the earth are yours. It was a hallelujah.
It's all up in there. It's all up in there. It's all grace. That's why when the Holy Ghost gets turned loose, he's going to harvest the nations because the Father's already given it to the Son. He's already given it to him. The church mightily grew. The grace was mightily upon them. Go to Isaiah 65, verse 9. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants, you can write sons, will dwell there. He inherited the mountains. You know what that means? The inheritance that was in those mountains, Mount Hebron. Ever heard us talk about Mount Hebron? That mountain of Abraham, Caleb, David, all that inheritance when he ascended in the right hand of God, that inheritance, he came and received that inheritance of that mountain, received it up into the right hand of God. Now he says, my elect, which was Christ, would inherit it. Then all my sons would come and dwell in there with him. I can dwell in the mountain again. I can dwell just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all dwelt in that mountain. I can dwell in it now.
and I can have the inheritance of that mountain. You and I, before this is over, I promise you, we're going to walk in that inheritance. That is what this church is about. We are going to find out how to get it to flow, and how to operate it in here. And we're not going to stop until it's fully flowing with two mighty rivers. A king's river and an apostle high priest river, full of the government of God coming down out of the right hand of God. That is our calling. That is our church. And that is our future. Hallelujah. 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 Such a great salvation you have granted unto us. Such a great salvation you've given unto us. A king that has inherited all things, the appointed heir of the Father. Oh, that you would show us these things, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let them flow into and through us. Let this mighty river, full of your government, full of your riches, full of your glory, full of inheritance, let it flow into the earth, bringing life, salvation, healing, deliverance, provision, and blessing, and honor, and wisdom, and strength. We are the inheritors of the earth. Pray with me, Father, grant me a free grant, one that I cannot work for, one I did not deserve. Grant me, in accordance to the riches of His glory, in accordance to the riches of His grace, grant me power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessings. Grant us the nations. Grant unto thy servants signs, miracles, and wonders to be done by thy holy child Jesus, administrated by your Holy Spirit into us and through us. We are vessels for your glory. Flow. Let the, put your hand on your belly. Say, let the river flow out of my belly. Is flowing rivers. Out of my belly is flowing rivers. Rivers of inheritance. Rivers of power. Rivers of the nations. Flow to the Dead Sea. Flow to the Great Sea. I am an inheritor of the earth. Amen, amen.